Welcome, everyone. Great to see all of you today as well. And as has already been mentioned, and I want to mention again, happy Father's Day to all of the wonderful fathers that are here today. You know, in our society, fatherhood, manhood has been under attack. And so today we want to honor the men. We want to honor the men in our lives that lead us, that guide us, that help us, encourage us, and support us, because I believe it's important. And so whatever role, I say this to you out there, some of you are even teachers, your coaches, your mentors, those are very important in our society. As Paul wrote many, many years ago, there are many teachers, but not many fathers. And so congratulations and thank you for those of you who are fathers today. And in fact, I'm so excited that as part of this day, we will be celebrating our Heavenly Father by having water baptisms today at the end of the service. I want to encourage all of you to stick around and celebrate with those who are making an announcement saying, you know what, I want to serve Jesus with all my heart, and I'm not afraid to tell the whole world about it. We're going to celebrate that today. Well, as we continue our series called In the Beginning, I want to start by just sharing a little story from my life. And over the past couple months, I've been teaching a class based on Dave Ramsey's Peace University called Finding Financial Freedom. And we've had quite a few people that have taken part of it. We're in the middle of our second half of it. And a couple of weeks ago, as part of the class, I shared a regretful purchase that I made early in my marriage. Who's ever bought something that you kind of later regretted? Maybe even the next day, you're like, why did I buy that? I've realized now that was not a good decision. I think most of us have been there at one point in our life. And, I'm going to date myself here, but when Jan and I were first married, I'm going to really date myself, we wanted a new VCR. All right, a VCR, back to the VCR days. Because without cable television, when you didn't have cable, Jan was going to college, we didn't have a lot of money, our celebration, the way that we entertained ourselves, was by going down to either Rogers Video or Blockbuster Video and renting a few videos for the weekend. That was like an important, exciting celebration of life together. That's what we did for entertainment. And as well, my family, my mom loves just sending videos. That was one of her things that she would always do. And so the VCR, I don't even know if we had one, but whatever we had or didn't have, it wasn't working. And so we needed a VCR at that time. And as we began our search for this now would be considered a classic, almost an ancient piece of equipment, we stumbled to an establishment, this will date it as well, formerly known as Future Shop. Future. And as we arrived, we were informed not only were they in the midst of their best VCR sale of the year, but that with the purchase of certain models, we would be able to take the VCR home today without making a payment for 90 days. Oh boy, now here's another trick that's out there. Same as cash for 90 days or no interest for 90 days. I mean, it was awesome. And so on top of it, they said if we paid the whole thing off, we wouldn't have to pay anything extra. And so here was my question. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Now, here was one of the catches, though. There was an immediate catch. The first catch was that in order to receive the deal, we needed to buy a premium VCR. Now, not the $100 one that we were looking at, that had lo-fi connections, played movies in standard quality, could record only one show, and would rewind in only a pedestrian 2x speed. No, you couldn't buy that if you wanted the deal. But it was the $250 VCR that supported hi-fi stereo inputs, had a 5-head video recording and playback. I mean, come on, this is cool stuff now. You could record up to 4 hours of TV. And we could rewind at an amazing 4x speed. I mean, this was the one that Steven Spielberg had in his house. I mean, if you're going to buy something like a new VCR, you need to buy quality. Whoever's had that, that's the the key. You need the best. And I remember telling Jan, this is a good deal. This is really a good deal, especially since it would be covered by our tax return that I had only filed these before I knew the money was coming. I mean, there's no way, nothing could go wrong. We couldn't lose on this. Well, two things I didn't realize until it was too late was, first, because I was new to Canada, it was my first year filing a tax return in Canada, that my return was going to be put to the bottom of the stack. And so instead of receiving my tax return in a 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks, we were looking at 3 months, 3.5 months. And here's the problem. Because that 90 days was going to be longer than that, the same as cash with no interest ended before that, we didn't make the date. Secondly, because I did not pay off the VCR in time, with interest, service charges, and now full retail being added to it, because remember, they sold us a sale price. They took it back up to its full price. Our $250 VCR ended up costing us close to $700. Looking back, I believe at the time I owned the most expensive VCR in the history of mankind. Here's why I'm sharing this story. Bad things can happen when you don't understand the contract or the agreement. I believe that agreements are important. See, agreements are important in all areas of our life. Business is established and maintained through contracts and agreements. Those of you that have owned a business, run a business, or done business with people, you understand that the way that it works is there has to be an agreement. Relationships are strengthened and flourish through covenants or other forms of agreement. What kind of relationship are we in? I know that there's some of you here that are, am I in a get-to-know-you relationship with somebody of the opposite sex? Or is it a, we're going to go forward in this relationship? You need to understand what is the agreement. As a church, we accomplish more when we come together in agreement. So as we continue our series today, in the beginning, when the word speaks, we're going to see that the principle and power of agreement was revealed in creation. Let's open our Bibles and look at a few of our key scriptures again as we start today. First of all, Genesis 1:1. We've shared this each week. It's in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. In Genesis 1:26 to 27, we see when human beings, when we came into the universe, and it says this, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So here's the question that I want us to ponder for a few moments as we're going to be talking about agreement. Who was it that was there in the beginning, or who or what was part of the creation process? You see, the question is not only do we believe in God, but do we know who God is? And from the scriptures we read today, we can see from the references that there's not only a reference to God, a singular person or individual in creation, but to references to Jesus and the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want to talk about for a few moments today, that we see that all three persons of the Godhead were present in the creation process and were there in the beginning. See, this is important for us to understand because it establishes for us the principle of unity or agreement in how life began. You see, to better understand God, we need to understand the Godhead or the Trinity or the relationship between God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm sure when you got up today, you're like, I don't believe I was going to hear about the Trinity today. But here's the Trinity. Trinity is one of the essential doctrines of Christian belief. And here's what it is. That the Trinity says this, that one God in three persons. That there's one God in three persons. And I'm going to develop this here for a few moments. You see, why is the Trinity important? Why is it important that we believe that we are worshiping one God who is in three persons? Because if someone rejects the idea of the Trinity, then you must ask yourself what other important belief systems, teachings, do they disregard when it comes to the Bible? You see, as we shared last week, as I talked to you last week, the whole foundation of our faith is a belief that the Bible is 100% accurate, that it's infallible, that when the Bible was written through plenary verbal inspiration, that even the words that were chosen were by God himself, as he inspired the writers. But if somehow, somewhere, some of that's not true, then it's only a really good book with some great ideas that you can pick and choose what you believe from. So here are the essential truths. I want to develop this today about the Trinity. Here's number one, there is one God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, the verse says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." That statement is called I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I'm going to probably say it wrong, the Shema or the Shema, something every Hebrew would recite each morning and night. Now we have to understand this, that Christianity came out of Judaism, or the belief that there is only one God. We do not subscribe to polytheism, that there are multiple gods or gods existing or coexisting in the Christian faith. We believe there is one God. And according to Scripture, we need to understand, and some people have subscribed to this theory when they look at religion or they look at who God is, that somehow there are many paths or many ways to God, except that's not true. The only way to God is through who? Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." End of discussion. So there is one God, but here's secondly what we have to understand about the Trinity. There is one God who coexists eternally in three persons. Well, what does that mean? It means that when we talk about creation, God was there in the beginning. Jesus was there in the beginning, and Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. God is eternal, Jesus is eternal, Holy Spirit is eternal. These are not three different gods, but three different individuals who are God. Now that might, your mind might be going, whoa! Is it not possible that there are things because of our humanity, because the finiteness of what we are capable to know and understand, that maybe go just a little bit beyond what we know, or make sense to us, or follow all the rules that we believe should be there? But I'm going to continue on here, because we have to understand this, that when we talk about that it's three persons, one of the things that I also believe that we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is a person. And I know there have been teachings, and there were teachings even when I was growing up, that somehow the Holy Spirit was just this mystical force or an impersonal influence. But we have to understand he's a real person. And I think because we use the word the Holy Spirit, sometimes we make him different than God or Jesus. But if you read the Scriptures, you understand that the Holy Spirit has feelings. Ephesians 4:30 says he can be grieved. Hebrews 10:29 says he can be insulted. And Acts 6:9 even says he can be tempted, even though he never fell for temptation. Here's my next statement about the Trinity. There is one God who coexist in three distinct persons. So coexist means that God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and Holy Spirit exist at the same time. When I was growing up, one of the ways that the Trinity was described was that there were three, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, oh, like the, you mean like three states of water? Solid, liquid, gas. Then the problem with that is that it's actually a false representation of the Trinity. It's not true. It's a false belief called modalism, which means that God is the same person who changes form based on the situation. Think about Peter Parker turning into Spider-Man when the situation calls for Spider-Man to save things, or Clark Kent becoming Superman. Well, that would be like modalism. It's the same person, they're just taking a different form. That's not correct. The Trinity is not three different forms of the same person, but three different persons who live in perfect connection or harmony. They are always completely of the same mind or purpose. They move together, they flow together. See, we don't understand this because we've never experienced that kind of unity in our own universe, that two people, two individuals could be so alike that they think exactly the same thing at every moment, at all the time, in every situation and circumstance. One God. So we go on to say this, there is one God who exists eternally in three distinct persons who are co-equal. What does that mean? It means that the Father, that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-equal in their divinity or their power. One is not more powerful than the other. Each is eternal. Each is all-knowing, which is omniscient. Each is always present, omnipresent. Each is all-powerful, omnipotent. However, each one of them has distinct or unique roles. We have God the Father. We understand that we have fathers in our own life. And the reason we have fathers is because we are created in His image. We have Jesus the Son. We know what it's like to be a son or a daughter. But we also have Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who helps us and encourages us and just gives us direction when we don't understand. God is the releaser, the creator. Jesus is the redeemer. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer. And all of them work in perfect harmony. I was even thinking about that today, how powerful that thought is, that what brought me to even to the place of salvation, or those of us who believe in Jesus, that at some point in history, all three of those roles were a part of our life, revealing to us our need for our relationship. We need the Father. And yet Jesus comes and He redeems us. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the things in our life. And as they come together, they testify to the fact that God has saved us and God has redeemed us. You see, each of them is fully God, yet relate to us in different and even personal ways. Even though each person of the Godhead is unique, all are in complete unity and agreement. The power of agreement. We were created through agreement. We were created through unity. Our universe came together because of agreement. Why is agreement important? As we read through the Bible, we see the principle of unity revealed throughout. Ephesians 4:3 says to us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Agreement, unity is important to God. And here's what we have to understand, why agreement is important. Because agreement requires a choice to sacrifice or to yield something to come together for something better or greater. You'll never find agreement if you always want to do things your own way. You'll never find agreement if you are the one who says it has to be my way or the highway. You might get a season of where you can rally people or force people into something. But who here knows that you can have people that do things, but they're still not in agreement with you? We've all had a boss tell us to, hey, I need you to go do that. And you're like, you stinker. I don't like what you're telling me right now. No, no, no. See, unity talks more about the heart, a willingness to sacrifice for a common purpose, for a greater purpose. See, the Godhead chose, you have to understand this, chose to come together in agreement to create the universe and everything in it. And we know that there was power that was released. How do we know that? Because in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. He was not speaking alone, but it was established through the agreement with Jesus and the Holy Spirit together in perfect agreement. They were speaking together in unison in perfect harmony. God is not above the Word, because as I shared last week, Jesus is the Word, but is in perfect agreement with the Word. So what does this mean for us? I mean, we're talking about God, and I mean, He's perfect. They never come out of order or alignment. They never make mistakes, but we sometimes do. What does this mean for us? When we walk in agreement with the Word of God and with each other, it releases the supernatural. Can I tell you that unity is something we talk about? It's something that we maybe even understand a little bit in our mind. We could probably agree, hey, unity is important, but I don't think we always understand how important it is, how powerful it is. That a lot of the things that we desire or the things that we want to see happen are either fulfilled or hindered by unity or the lack of unity. See, I believe this, that number one, I'm going to share three quick things. Agreement releases unstoppable power. And did you know that that can be for either good or for evil? How do I know that? If I look at the Word of God in Genesis 11, we have this story about the Tower of Babel. See, when God created man, as I read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, God gave us a purpose, and He determined that human beings, that His people, His creation, would go and inhabit the earth, that we were called to spread out and to take possession of the land, that we were to rule and reign over the earth. It was part of our calling, our duty. But through the leadership of a man in Genesis named Nimrod, people decided, they were like, no, let's not do that. They decided to gather in one place to build a tower to heaven. Well, why would they do that? Well, they wanted to make a name for themselves, the Bible says. What that really means, if you look more deeply into it, is they wanted to reach God, or even more so this, they wanted to become gods. And what is it that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven? Pride. But what did he want? He wanted to be like God. We even see in this day and age that a lot of the things that we are battling and the reason that the church and the beliefs of following Jesus are under attack is because people want to do whatever they want to do. But really what they're saying behind it is, I don't want you to challenge me. I want to be my own what? And here's what happened, it says. God saw what they were doing. And I always find this interesting when I read this. And He was amazed what they were beginning to accomplish. And here's what God said about what was happening in the plain of Shinar where this happened. It said, look, He said, the people are all united, and they all speak the same language. After this, listen, it's nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. See, God understood agreement. He understood unity. And He said, look, this isn't where we want to go with this, but if they keep going and we allow it to keep happening this way, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop them. And to break up the ungodly alliance, God confused the common language, causing all the people to disperse. I believe this unity or agreement releases the power to do the impossible for both good and evil. The greater the unity, the greater the power. Now, if we, I believe this, the people of our of the church would only realize this, we would come together more frequently, surrendering our personal agendas to see God do the impossible. Now, there might be a little bit of ouch there. Listen to this. If we, the people of the church, and I'm talking not just East Side, I'm talking, would come together more frequently, surrendering our personal agenda to see God do the impossible, we would see God do more of the impossible. Because here's what you have to understand. You cannot have unity or agreement without personal surrender. It's impossible. Can I get really real today? I mean, I'm already heading there, but I'm going to take this to another level of what this means and things that happen. I have people ask me all the time. I mean, I'm the leader of the church, and sometimes they're like, Pastor, where is the move of God? Or why do we not see the Holy Spirit moving more powerfully, more often? Why, Pastor? You got to have the answers. And I'm praying, and I'm seeking God, and I'm on my knees, and I'm like, Lord, would you move? I want to see you move. And a lot of us are like, yeah, we want to see God move. Who wants to see God move in greater power and authority among us as well as the people around us? I believe that. I believe that people desire to see that. And I wonder, and as I was putting this together, if perhaps it might be because of a lack of unity. What do I mean? It's not, well, we're here, we're coming together. Well, here's some of the things that I hear at times. Pastor, I struggle to worship because it's and I'm going to pick on a lot of people here, so don't you're this group is going to be one, because it's not hymns. Then I have another group that says, I struggle to worship because it is hymns. Or because Hillsongs is bad. Or because it's not what I like. And we forget that we should worship because why? It's worship. Because we are worshiping God. I got to be honest with you here. I'm going to share something. Some of you know this, some of you don't. I really don't like country western music. I know the stampede is coming. I know that I'm just, some of you are like, that is, you live in Alberta, it's cowboy country. You gotta like country music. I'm sorry I don't. In fact, I used to joke with my wife, if somehow the rapture came, I missed going, I was sent to hell. That's what would be played 24/7. That's what I said. But listen to this, I've actually been to churches that play country western kind of feel to their worship. And you know what I understand? We're worshiping Jesus. It's about worshiping Jesus. What if we all just said, you know what, it doesn't matter whether it's this or that or this kind of thing or that kind of thing. Some of it I like it. It's too quiet. It's too loud. It's too this. There's too much drum. There's not enough drum. If we just said, you know what, let's just worship God. Because he is worthy to be praised. Because styles are styles. Preferences are preferences. Can I go a little deeper? I don't know, you may not like me after I share this next one. I cannot come to prayer because I don't like praying online. I don't like praying out loud. It does not fit my schedule. It does not fit my kids' schedule. It is too early. It is too late. I don't like the format on First Sunday. I pray on my own. Now, I'm going to say this. Some reasons are legit. But if we're honest, others are just cop-outs. It's preferences. And I can't judge which whether it's a cop-out or it's a legitimate reason. You have to know that. You have to go before God on your own. I'm just the messenger here today. I'm just speaking this out to say all I know is the greater the unity, the greater the power. You see, when my preference keeps me from gathering around healthy and godly things, there is a loss of agreement. And we have to learn the difference between preference and principle. And if I'm going to err on something, why don't we err on the side of principle? What is a principle of God? What is the truth of God? I believe God's calling us in this day, in this hour, to seek to build unity, to prioritize coming together, and to believe for a greater release of His Spirit. You see, every move of God that you've ever witnessed, everything that you have seen around, or if you go to a church where you see that something incredible is happening, I guarantee you somebody somewhere sacrificed in unity to make it happen. Do you guys still love me today? Second thing, unity or agreement releases blessings. This will be a lot nicer. It goes without question that we all enjoy receiving blessings. Is there anybody here that doesn't want more blessing in your life? Because if you do, I will take yours for myself. Psalms 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." I love what it says in the NLT. It says, "In harmony." It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing and even life evermore. You see, we read all that. Oh, the oil on the thing of Aaron's robe and the dew of Mount Hermon, and we don't understand. When you live in a very arid climate, when you find places where there is an abundance of refreshing, of water to grow things, that's a wonderful thing. And oil always in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit, but it also represents just life. It represents just the fullness of God. And so oil was something that they valued very much. And to be able to pour it over yourself would have been like, man, for some ways, it'd feel like a waste, but if I could live in a place where we could just pour oil on us and it would touch everything, every part of our life, every part of our being, that would be an incredible blessing. I believe this when we prioritize godly agreement, the Word of God promises that we will experience blessing. And what I love about blessing is it's not limited to one area of our lives, but that it is all-encompassing. It infiltrates everything. Better marriages, stronger and deeper friendships, freedom from sickness, greater financial reward, closer relationship with God. I call blessing a greater awareness of the goodness touching all areas of our life. God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the people around me. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my, you know, when you're just in that place of blessing and everything is in order and alignment, it doesn't mean there aren't glitches. It doesn't mean there aren't challenges. It doesn't mean that things are easy every day, but there's just a sense of the favor of God. I believe the blessing of David, that David is writing about in Psalms, is a sense of harmony that creates a symphony of peace. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. God, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. You see, the more we come into agreement with the Word and those around us, we will experience the fullness of blessings. And here's my last point I want to lean on today just for a couple minutes as I'm going to close if John wants to come up here. Agreement releases answered prayer. Agreement releases answered prayer. I believe when we come into a place of really surrendering our hearts together, we will see greater prayer answered. I love what it says in Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Again, I tell you that if two or of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. I believe that unity is one of the keys to answered prayer. I've actually, over the last couple years, got to see this in action in a greater capacity as I've been a member of a prayer group that we pray together regularly, we share regularly, we encourage each other regularly. It's been a wonderful time to see prayers answered, some quickly, while others over time. You know, some things don't happen immediately. We live in a society that likes things immediately, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. As we pray for one another, God has knit our hearts together in a deep way. And unity has brought, and here's what I want to say about this, unity has brought us together in prayer, and prayer has brought us together in deeper unity. It begins to complement each other, strengthen it. You see, I believe this, the more we come together in agreement, the more we'll experience the best that God has provided for us. I don't know everything, but I do know this. I know that God has more for us. I know that God wants to do more through us. We heard it today in the words that were spoken, the prophetic words. God sees the hardship. God sees the evil. But God also has a plan. And God has things he wants to do in us, but also through us. And I think we need to today grasp this whole idea that when I think about blessing and I think about unity, it's not just for me. God bless me. God use me. But God wants to use you to be a blessing to others. That we're to be conduits of blessing. And as we come together, we more fully represent the fullness of who Jesus is. People get to see more fully who Jesus is when we're unified. Now, when we're in disagreement, we have strife, we aren't doing well, we're not the representation of that. But that's not what my focus is today. I believe God's calling us to be those who are willing to lay down preferences so that we can see God do something greater. You see, in the beginning, the events of creation were confirmed by the witness of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Everything was birthed through the power of agreement or unity. And I'm telling you, that's how powerful unity is. Things were spoken into existence. I believe this, that unity is something worth fighting for. And it is important that we challenge ourselves to come together both with our presence, I call this our body, and with our purpose, our heart. And it's hard because it means surrendering our preferences for something greater. What are those? God's greater presence. Lives changed and transformed. Tangible blessings. Deeper relationships. Answered prayer. What are you willing to agree to do today? I feel like God is saying, this, yes, we can have this simmer, but I want to throw some things out there. Where can you come together with others? Maybe it's just being here more. Making it a point to say, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to be there on Sundays to worship with people so that I can bring unity to the house. Maybe it's jumping more into worship. Maybe you're here and God's just challenging you. You know, John today was like, hey, if you feel God wants to move in you, just express a little deeper. You're going, you know what, I may not be comfortable with that, but God, I'm just going to, I want to surrender to you. Maybe it's making time to come and pray with people, whether it's pre-service or Monday night or men's group or whatever it is, what you can do. Committing to a small group. Getting excited about serving. Ask God to show you what living in unity means for you. So I just want to pray that right now. Father, would you just come and settle on us today? Lord, would you settle on your people here? And Lord, would you begin to even speak to us about what our part, what our place is, what that next step would be? Lord, I'm praying right now that you would open our hearts. Lord, I'm praying that you'd even open my heart more. Lord, that you would help me to be more willing to step out of my comfort zone. I say this to you, folks, comfort is the kryptonite to seeing God move. Lord, would you just show us what sacrifice looks like in our life, not in a way that's overwhelming, not in a way where we feel like we have to run 10,000 miles in 100 different directions, but God, just what you're asking us to do, what we are capable of doing. And Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, as we take those steps, God, that you would just give us those blessings so that we could see, God, yeah, keep going, you can do this. Lord, so that Eastside City Church can be that city on a hill, that east gate in the city that people will see and recognize that Jesus is here. So that people can come to know you, God. That's what our heart is. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord.